Right. Morning, everyone. Today's Daf Pesachim is Daf Samach Beis. We're in the middle of the fifth parak of Pesachim. We are speaking about Karban Pesach in relationship to Karban. As I mentioned already, as we have already seen for a number of days, the discussion that we've had since the beginning of the parak has been a discussion of Karban Pesach vis-a-vis the halachas of Karbanos. Karban Pesach is unique in the following manner. Karban Pesach has to be eaten. Now, other karbanos eaten as well. Karban Shlamim is eaten, and the Karban Chatas is eaten by Kohanim. And okay, so in other words, we have this idea that karbanos are eaten, but the Karban Pesach is unique in that the main purpose of bringing the Karban Pesach is to eat it. Unlike other karbanos by Karban Shlamim, so it's good to eat it. It's a mitzvah to eat it by Karban Chatas, as we discussed a couple days ago. It's a mitzvah for the Kohanim to eat. In fact, the Gemara argued that without the Kohanim eating it, the owners don't receive a kapara until the Kohanim eat it. So certainly there's this idea that karbanos are eaten, but the Karban Pesach, its main function, its main purpose, its goal, right, if the Karban Pesach had a mission statement, is that we would bring the Karban Pesach and we would eat the Karban Pesach. So there has to be consumers of the Karban Pesach. If there are no consumers of the Karban Pesach, so that speaks to the idea that it's not going to be good carbon. The carbon will not be successfully brought. Our Mishnah, which we're starting right now, we're back on Samach Aleph. We're back on Samach Aleph and Aleph. We're starting the Mishnah today. Our Mishnah really speaks to this idea that Karban Pesach has to be eaten, and therefore by eaten it means that the people who are right now planning on eating it actually have to be have the ability to actually eat the Karban Pesach. If let's say a shechta the Karban Pesach for a group of people who for whatever reason cannot eat it, either halachically or physically cannot eat it, so the carbon's not a good carbon, meaning that the carbon's disqualified. It just simply won't be a good carbon. The Mishnah starts off, we're in Samech Aleph Amud Aleph, we're starting with the Mishnah, Shechtu Shlolo Ochlov. Let's say I shech for people who can't eat it. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain in just a moment, who are these people that can't eat it? Okay, we'll see the Gemara. Sick people, elderly people, whatever the case is. They physically can't eat it. Or Shalolam Nuyah. But let's say I shech to the Karban Pesach for people who aren't registered. Okay, later on we'll talk more about this idea of registration. There's this idea that we have to register over the Karban Pesach. Okay, registration I mentioned yesterday, it doesn't require you to fill out any form. You don't have to give your social security number. It just simply means that you have to actually go to the owner of this animal, there's going to be some owner of the animal, and say, hi, I'd like to register for the Karban Pesach. He will most likely and probably ask you for money. In other words, he wants you to be mishtatif, he wants you to participate in the Karban Pesach. Because he's still available. So he wants you to be mishtatif, and he's going to ask you for money, but that's minui, that's registration. So, and if you're not registered over a Karban Pesach, you can't eat that Karban Pesach. Right, even if let's say you go to Yerushalayim, and that for that night I'm going to eat somewhere, I don't know where. I'm not invited. I don't have any plans yet. I'm not invited by any plan, but I'm going to eat the Karban Pesach. That's not good. When it comes to Karban Pesach, there has to be minui. There has to be registration. We'll learn later on. You can register. You can withdraw your registration. You can join another group. There's a flexibility in registration, but there has to be registration. So let's say Cohen checks the Karban Pesach, and it happens to be nobody's registered for that Karban Pesach. So, as we'll see in just a moment, that's also no good. Or la'arelim ulatameim. Or let's say the group of people here are either all arel, they're all not circumcised, right? One of the criteria, one of the prerequisites to eating the Karban Pesach is you have to have a milah, you have to be circumcised. So, if let's say there's a group of men, and for whatever reason, and Rashi says it, you can count on Rashi to say it nearly every time. Rashi happens not to say it in our Mishnah, but later on today's Daf Rashi will say it. Let's say they didn't get a milah for a very simple reason, meaning that they had brothers who died, machmas milah, because of the milah. So this group of men over here, for legitimate reasons, didn't get a milah. It does not matter. They're still not able to eat the Karban Pesach or Tameim, or all the people are Tamei. Tamei people cannot eat the Karban Pesach. We're going to see later on today that if all of Bnei Yisrael are Tamei, or most of the Jewish people are Tamei, so then they can eat the Karban Pesach. Okay, but generally speaking, though, a Tamei person cannot eat Karban Pesach. So, if this is my group, right, it's a really sad group of people who are either unable to eat it, or not registered, or they're Arel, or they're Tamei, and those are the only members of the group they shot the Karban Pesach for, so puzzle. So the Karban Pesach is no good, meaning that there's a disqualification in the carbon itself. It's just simply not a good carbon. So But let's say the group is a composite of people who can and cannot eat, right? So, and we go through all four of these examples. Let's say my group is a composite of people who have the ability physically and people who don't eat, who can't eat. Or let's say my group is people who are registered and people who are not registered. People who have a meal, people who don't have a meal. People who are tummy, people who are not tummy. And all, in any one of those situations, the Mishnah says kosher, that's fine. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that there are some people who can't eat, that's not a big deal. The Mishnah says the carbon's still going to work. And right, very good question. And it seems to be there's no minimum number here. It's not going to follow. There's no rule of majority here. As long as it seems to be, even if there's one person who's able to eat, so then that would be fine. Later, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves, we're going to discuss what if I shaft the carbon pesach for one person, just one person. Okay, we'll talk about that later on. In the meantime, however, the Mishnah goes on. Shechto kodem chatzos. Let's say shechto karm pesach before chatzos. Now, as we know, the Torah says regarding the karm pesach has to be shechto bein harbaim, has to be shechto in the afternoon. So the only right time to shechto karm pesach is going to be not just on the 14th day of Nisan, but the afternoon of the 14th day of Nisan. The Mishnah discusses what if I shechto it on the morning of the 14th? So that's possible. That's no good. Mishum shenemar bein harbaim. Shachtu karm latamid. Now, what if I shach the karm pesach in the afternoon, but before the karm tamid? Our parak, the fifth parak of Pesachim, started off with the yesod. Karm pesach has to be shachted after the karm tamid. The tamid shall be in arbaim. It's the exception to the rule. The rule is that all karbans have to be shachted before the tamid shall be in arbaim, with exception to karm pesach. Karm pesach is shachted afterward. Let's say I did shacht in the afternoon, but before the tamid shall be in arbaim. So the Mishnah says That's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the carbon. The Mishnah says kosher. Uvelvachi acher memares bedamo achi yizro katamid. But really, what you should do is as follows: if you can have somebody stir the blood so that the blood doesn't congeal, and wait for the tamid shalbein harbaim to be offered, so at least you're going to get your zrika in, the zrika of the carbon pesach, after the tamid shel bein arbaim. So that would be the best scenario, but then the Mishnah even admits in Nizra Kasha. But to be fair and honest, even if I did the Zrika before the tamid shel bein arbaim, it's still going to be a Kasha carbon. So the Mishnah goes from scenarios where the carbon is nifsal, it's disqualified, to scenarios where it's not the best, but it would be okay, it would be acceptable. Those are the cases of the Mishnah. Much to discuss in the context of the Mishnah. We start with the Gemara. Tana Rabbana, Ketzer Shalol Ochlav. So, the Gemara says, give me a simple example. Gemara is quoting a Brice, that's a Tosefta. Give me a simple example of, I can't have people eat it. So the Tosefta does so. L'shem Chola, U'l'shem Zaken. Let's say your group is a group of people who are either sick, meaning they physically can't eat, or they're Zaken, or they're too old, and they can't eat. So, Ketzer Shalol Nuyav. So, what's a simple example of people who aren't registered? So nimno alav chabur zu v'shachtu l'shem chabur acheres. Well, let's say I do have people who are registered over this carbon pesach, and again, let's not talk about motivation, because I can never explain motivation. But when the kohen shechts it, he says, "I'm shechting it not for the group who registered, but for a different group." He articulates. He says, "I'm shechting for another group." Okay, so that's no good. That would disqualify the carbon. Now, how do I know that this is so? Where in the Torah does it say that if I shecht it for a group of people who are not registered, it's no good? So the Gemara says, So the Torah describing the carbon pesach says, b'mechzas. Now the word mechzas, you're going to see that word a couple of times over the course of this morning. That means to shecht. The word kos in Hebrew means cup, but also in this context it means to shecht. So b'mechzas, melamed she'ein ha'pesach nishchat ela limnuyav. So there the Torah says that b'mechzas nefashos tachosu al haseh. Right? Hopefully I quoted the pasuk correctly. I should. It's my bar mitzvah parsha, but that doesn't matter. I could still get it wrong. But anyway, but the Torah says that b'mechzas nefashos, when I shecht four people, tachosu al haseh, they are shechted, you shecht the sheep. So in other words, I'm supposed to shecht the sheep, meaning the karm pesach, on behalf of people who are registered. So the Gemara, so the Torah says, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, Sheina Pesach Neshchar Elam Nuyav. Yachr Shachtu Shalolam Nuyav. Yeheka over al ha mitzvah vikasher. All right. So the Torah tells us that we should shecht it for people who are registered. Okay, but what if I don't? Okay, so I violated a mitzvah, but don't tell me that the karban is pasul. Tama lomar b'mechzas tachosu hakos of shina alav la'akev. So, but that's why the Torah repeats itself. We know when it comes to karban, we see in zvachim and menachos, we see this time and again. Whenever the Torah goes out of its way and it repeats a point, it's shina alav la'akev. The repetition is there to tell us that not only is this a mitzvah, it's essential, it's necessary. So therefore, the shechting of the Karban Pesach for registered people is not just the Torah telling us, that's what I want you to do. That's the Torah telling us, that's what you need to do. And if you don't do it that way, so then the Karban's not going to be good. Rabbi Omer Lashon, Sur Sihu Kadam Sha'omer Lechavero, Kosli Tlezet. Now the Gemara just takes a moment, just a brief moment to explain, what is this word, Tachosu? So the Gemara explains, Rebbe explains, it's Lashon Sursi. Sursi, Rashi, you can take a look, three lines from the bottom. Arami Chachmei Ha'um was karen lo Linga Shurya. So it's an Aramaic word found in the Torah, where the Torah uses the word Tachosu, but Tachosu is an Aramaic word which means to shecht. Right? The word kos in Aramaic means to shecht. So when you're shechting, you have to have in mind the people who are registered over the Karban Pesach. Okay, Aramaic words in the Torah? Yeah, sure. We find that the Torah uses not just Lashon Kodesh, but the Torah, on occasion, in Nach, you'll see it much more often. But even the Torah, the Gemara cites a couple of examples where the Torah uses words that are not in what we would call Lashon HaKodesh. So, Rabbi Omer Lashon Sorsi, Kadam Sharma Lechaver, Kosli Tlezet. Okay. Fine. Ashkechan Shalola Nuyav Shalola Ochla Menalan. So far now we know, based on the repetition of the Pasuk, that if I shech the Karban Pesach for people who are not registered, so that's a deal breaker. That disqualifies the Karban Pesach. Good. How about Shalola Ochlav? Let's say the people are registered, they just can't eat it. They physically can't eat it. So Manala Namakra, Ishlafi Achlo Tachosu Alaseh. So the Torah says, again going back to Parshas Bo, Ishlafi Achlo, for each person as he eats it, Tachosu Alaseh, I shech the Karban Pesach. Good. So that's where we get from the Torah that not only do you have to be registered, but you have to have the physical ability to eat the Karban Pesach. So if I'm shechting on behalf of a group that do not have the physical ability to eat the Karban Pesach, so then it's no good. And ikish ochlin lemenuyev, and then the Gemara points out that there's hekesh, meaning the hekesh is between those who can eat it to those who are registered. And just like we concluded, that if I shech Karban Pesach for a group who are not registered over the Karban, that disqualifies the Karban. Same thing for Shalola Ochlav. If I shech it on behalf of a group who physically cannot eat it, the Cholo, the Rezakein, so therefore the Karban is disqualified. It's no good. Adkan. Now, we turn to Samech Aleph Amud Beis, and here we now begin a long discussion. A long discussion, this discussion that we start right now, is going to take us through all of Samech Aleph Amud Beis, all of Samech Beis Amud Aleph, and it's going to go to Samech Beis Amud Beis. So, it's one long sentence. You know, what we would call a daf sentence. Right? It's really going to cover half of yesterday's daf, nearly all of today's daf. Okay. Shachtu l'mulin amanashis kapur bro avrei l'mizrika. So, here we go again, back to the kavanas of the Kohen as he's shechting. Okay, so what do we know? We know we have ideas of Shinui Kodesh, that if the Kohen has in mind another type of Karban, so that's no good. And by Karban Pesach, we can remember the two exceptions to the rule. The rule is that Shinui Kodesh doesn't disqualify a Karban, generally speaking, but what it would do is that it would disassociate the Karban from its owner. The owner needs to now bring a new Karban. Okay, what about Shinui Balim? So basically, same story. That if the Kohen while shechting has somebody else in mind, generally speaking, that's no good. It doesn't disqualify the Karban, but it disassociates the owner from the Karban. But when it comes to the Karban Pesach, and when it comes to Karban Chatas, Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balam is going to be posel. It'll disqualify. That we knew already. What we're going to be dealing with now is a very detailed discussion in the following scenario. Now, what we learned in our Mishnah is that if I shecht the Karban Pesach, it has to be over people who are qualified to eat it. So if I shecht it over a group of people who are Reilim, right? They're not circumcised. So we learned in our Mishnah, if the group is exclusively made of them, the carbon's no good. If the group is a composite of people who can and people who cannot, I'm sorry, people who are and are not malt, so we learned in our Mishnah, that's fine. Okay, so now we're going to advance the discussion one step beyond that. Let's say I shecht the Karban Pesach, and I have in mind people who have a milah, but I say, I, the Kohen, let's assume it's the Kohen right now, it's shechita, so it can be done by non-Kohen, but let's assume it's the Kohen, and the Kohen says, while he's shechting it, look, I'm shechting it for people with a milah. And again, well, let's assume they're registered. But here's my story, though. When I do the Zrika, again, don't ask me motivation, because it's going to sound strange. But when I do Zrika, he says it's while shechting, I'm going to be Zorek for people who don't have a milah. Okay? That's my interest today. That's my intent today. It sounds strange. Now, earlier we had a discussion of, first of
all, it was the central thing that connects.
Right, correct. So we had a discussion earlier of whether or not I can have one avoda in mind while doing another avoda. Right? Mechashven me'avoda le'avoda. Okay, but that's not going to be our discussion today. Our discussion today is primarily going to revolve around the following. Do we say, now again, we know in our Mishnah made it very clear, that if I shecht it for people who are Reilim, it's no good. But here, I'm shechting it not for a Reilim, I'm shechting it for people with a Milah. And I'm also having in mind that when I do the Zrika, and I articulate, when I do the Zrika, I'm going to be doing the Zrika for people who are not circumcised. So is that going to disqualify, or is that not going to disqualify? So interestingly enough, it turns into a Machlokas Amoraim. So, Amanashi is Kapur Bo Arelim Bezrika. Now, are these uncircumcised people, are they registered, are they not registered? For our purposes right now, let's say it doesn't matter. Let's say they are, let's say they're not. Rashi says, the first Rashi on the Amud, Rashi says at this juncture of the Gemara, it doesn't matter. That's not going to be our main point right now. So Rav Chista Amar Pasul Rabba Amar Kasher. So Rav Chista says, that's it, you've disqualified, and Rabba says you did not disqualify. Rav Chista Amar Pasul Yesh Machsheves Areilim Bezrika. Just like having an intent of Arel during the Shechita will disqualify, so too having an intent of Arel during the Zrika is also going to disqualify. Meaning, if we could just spell out Rav Chista another way, if I could just simply reword it, meaning, look, we know that the Karban Pesach has to be shechted for people with a milah. If I don't shecht it for people with a milah, if I shecht it for people who are not mild, so we learned in our mission, that's no good. So all Rav Chista is doing is, that's true by Shechita, and that's true by Zrika as well. Meaning that would be true for any one of the Avodas. That's Rav Chista's argument. It seems to be a pretty straightforward argument. And Rabba Amar Kasher, I'm sorry, and Rabba Amar Kasher, and Rabbi says, no, it's fine, because the machshava of Arel won't disqualify by Zrika. Now, why would we make a distinction? So please wait, because the Gemara itself is going to be bothered by that very simple question. What distinction can we make between Shechita and Zrika? Now, I know you already have something in mind, which you said a moment ago, but let's just wait a moment. The Gemara is going to unveil what's the argument of Rav Chista, what's the argument of Rabba. So, the Gemara starts off the discussion by quoting a Braisa. So let me just lay out the structure of the Gemara, because it's going to get very involved. Obviously, this whole discussion is going to take a daf. But the way the Gemara is going to present itself now is as follows. So again, let's just deal with the basic question. The basic question of the Gemara is that the Kohen, when shechting, has in mind people who are circumcised, which is great, but he says, but when I do the Zrika, I plan on doing the Zrika for people who are uncircumcised. So now the question is, the Machshava of Arel for Zrika, posel or not posel? Rav Chista says it's posel, and Rabbi says it's not posel. What the Gemara now is going to do is it's going to quote a Braisa. The Braisa is going to make a number of arguments. The Braisa is then going to have a conclusion. It's not really clear what the conclusion of the Braisa is. Rabbi and Rav Chista are going to argue in terms of what exactly the conclusion is. each one of them injecting their own understanding into what the Braisa means, and that will take us through the rest of this Amud. That is a layout of this Amud. So first things first, let's go see the Braisa. So Amar Rabba Mina Minala. So Rabba says, how do I know that I'm right? The Tanya. So let's learn a Braisa together. Yachl Yifso B'nei Chabura HaBainimo. I might have thought that he's going to be posseling together with the B'nei Chabura. Meaning, as Rashi points out, I have an Aril. An Aril joins a group. Okay? Tells everybody, I'm an Aril, I want to join the group for whatever reason. Okay, just give us your money. We'll accept your registration. And now I have a group of Jews. Some of them have a mila, and one of them doesn't. Yachal, I might have thought. This is how the Braisa opens up. I might have thought, Yachal yifso b'nei chabura mabay mimo, that he's gonna ruin it for everybody. In other words, because he's an Aril who participated in the Karban Pesach together with the group, so Yachal, I might have thought, that's it. It's the Karban Pesach is no good. Vidinhu, and now the Braisa continues, and we can actually argue this logically. Hova Arla Poseles Vituma Poseles. So, because look, Arla, Arelus, that's a Poso. Tuma also is a Poso. Now, what Tuma are we talking about? Stay tuned. We're going to discuss. Now, in the world of Tuma, we don't make some Tuma like all Tuma. So too, when it comes to Af Arla, Lo Asaba Mitzas Arla Kechola Arla, same thing is true by Arel. Now, let's see if we can understand this a little bit better. Now, in other words, the Braisa says, look, in the world of Tuma, if let's say I have Mitzas Tuma, so a simple example would be what we just learned in the Mishnah. Meaning, let's say I have a group of Jews, some of them are Tame, some of them are not. What did the Mishnah say? It's fine. The carbon's fine. So too by Arel. I'll make the same argument. If some are Gemalt and some are not Gemalt, I'll say, that's fine. Okay, that's the first step of the Braisa's argument. Oklach l'derech zu. But then the Braisa says, but really we can argue in another direction. And that is, hova arla posel vizman posel. Look, arelus, that's a posel, that's a disqualifier. What else is a disqualifier? The Gemara says zman, the Braisa says zman. What is that referring to? Pigel. Okay, we know pigel. Meaning we went through Zrachim, I'd say about 2 years ago, maybe even more now. And we saw that one of the topics that the Masechta Zvachim loves is the topic of Pigel, right? Spent a lot of time on the topic of Pigel. Pigel, very briefly, is when the Kohen shechs a carbon and he articulates while he's shechting, I plan on eating the carbon chutzas mano, right? Outside of its prescribed time. Every carbon has an allotted time in which it can be eaten in. A shlamim has 2 days in which it can be eaten in. And the Kohen says, while shechting it, I'm going to eat it 3 days from now. And he has that in mind, and he articulates that while he shechts. So as long as he finished the avoda, meaning remember, one of the rules of pigel, which we're actually going to see in today's daf, is that pigel is not going to be actualized until all four avodas are done. Even though the machshava occurred in the shechita, the first of the four avodas, still the remaining three avodas need to be done. Now the animal has the disqualification of pigel, And pigol is a very serious offense of the Torah. One of the offenses in the Torah where if you eat a carbon that is disqualified through pigol, you're subject to kares. That's a kares punishment. So, zman is a posel. So if the Kohen has this machshevas of chutz zmano, so that's also going to be a posel. Now, ma zman asabo mitzah zman kechol zman. Now, when it comes to zman, there is no differentiation between kol zman versus mitzah zman. Meaning, let's say the Kohen has in mind, I'm going to eat most of this carbon within the allotted time. But you know, that particular piece, you see that over here, he points to part of the animal. You see that little piece of meat over there, right? It has to be kazayas. That piece of meat I'm going to eat 3 days from now. Is that pigel? And the answer is, yeah, absolutely. The entire animal becomes disqualified through pigel. So in pigel, there's no differentiation between whether he has the entire animal in mind or even just some of the animal in mind. It's still, the animal's still subject to pigel. So, af arla, sabo, mixas arla, kechola arla. So, if that's true by pigel, there's no differentiation between mixas versus kulo, so then we can maybe make the same argument regarding arelis as well. That it will not make a difference whether it's some versus all. All is going to disqualify, and some are going to disqualify. So, again, What the Brisa is trying to uncover is what if I have a group of people? Most of them are malt, and one of them is not malt. And they all registered over the Karban Pesach, and I shech the Karban Pesach. Is the Karban going to be disqualified, yes or no? And at this point, the Braisa says, well, it depends what you compare it to. Am I going to compare it to Tuma, where there is a very clear distinction. If some are Tame, it's fine. If all are Tame, it's not fine. So therefore, I would say the same conclusion by Arelus. Or no, the Braisa says, maybe I'll compare it to Pigol, where there's no differentiation between some versus all. Okay, that's where we are now at the Braisa, near Lemidome. So, you know how this works. So I have two ways to go with Arel. I can either go down the Tuma path, or I can go down the Pigol path. Which one is it more comparable to? Dan and Davashein and Oeg Bechol HaZvachim, and Davashein and Oeg Bechol HaZvachim, Va'al Yochiach Zman Shein Oeg Bechol HaZvachim. So on one hand, I would say Arel is more aligned with Tuma, because both of them are exclusive to Karban Pesach. As opposed to Pigol, Pigol is a universal disqualification. It applies to any Karban. Now let's think about this for just a moment. Arel and Tuma is only by Karban Pesach? I mean, that doesn't seem to be true. We know that any Karban that's Tameh is inedible. We know that any person who's Tameh can't eat Karban. So what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says, well, Tuma only applies to Karban Pesach? What does that mean? So as Rashi points out over here, it's not talking about eating the Karban Pesach. Any person's Tameh is not allowed to eat any Karban. What it means is that in the world of Pesach, if you're Tameh, you can't bring the Karban Pesach. Not even through somebody else. If you're Tameh, can you bring another Karban? Oh, let's say I'm Tameh. Okay, I happen to be Tameh. Let's say I'm Tameh. Can I bring a shlamim? Sure. I'm not going to offer it, obviously. I'm Tamei. I'll give it to the Kohen. He'll do all the avoda. Now, I can't eat it, but that's not going to impede me from offering it. Correct. Meaning, I won't be able, I'll have somebody else do smicha. Smicha by proxy. But, okay.
Do you have
smicha
for shlamim?
I believe so, yeah. The Pesach doesn't get smicha, but regular shlamim does. So the fine. So
it's not for correct.
It's just a mitzvah. Mitzvah smicha. I mean, do I have an explanation of why? No, but there's a mitzvah smicha. So either way, it's easier, or it's right. It's more. It seems to be more relevant. I'm going to compare Arel. Now Arel also is a Karban Pesach halacha. Right, if a Jew is an Arel, can he bring another carbon? Any other type of carbon? The answer is sure. He won't be able to eat it, but he can bring it. So you see that Arel and Tuma are both specific to Karban Pesach in that when you're an Arel or when you're Tameh, you can't even bring the Karban Pesach, as opposed to all other carbonos you're allowed to bring. That's a different story, and we'll get to that story. But that's for now. For our purposes, we just want to know, what is Arel more comparable to? So it's more comparable to Tuma because both of them have an exclusive nature to Karban Pesach. Pigol, there's no exclusivity. By Pigol, that's a disqualifier for any Karban under any circumstance. So it would seem to be that it's a better comparison to compare Arel to Tuma as opposed to Zman. Oklach l'derech zu, going back to the Braisa. The Braisa says, but we can also argue a different way. On the other hand, I think Arul is more comparable to Pigol, because Arul and Pigol, there's never an exception. Meaning, if you're an Arul, can you eat Karban Pesach? No. Can you offer Karban Pesach? No. With no exception. Same thing is true by Pigol. Is there ever a scenario where I'm allowed to eat a Karban that's nifsal through the disqualification of Pigol? No, never. Tuma, is that true? Is there never an exception for Tuma? No. We know there's an exception to Tuma. We know that in the world of Tuma, right, if I have the community, the Jewish community, most of the Jewish community, Tameh, we're allowed to eat Karban Pesach. So we know that there's an exclusion, there's an exception to Tuma. So if I want to say, what's Arul more comparable to? It sounds like it's more comparable to Pigol. There's never an exception. Tuma, which is a lighter disqualification, I only say lighter because I know there's an exception. So under certain circumstances, we can eat the Karban Pesach in the state of Tuma. So therefore, I would compare Arel to Pigol, not to Tumah. Tamud Lomar Zos. And now we get the punctuation of the Braisa. That's what the Torah is telling me, Zos. Meaning, as Rashi points out, when the Torah describes that the Arel is not allowed to eat the Karm Pesach, then the Torah says, Zos Chukasa Pesach. This is the law of Pesach. Okay. And we know, anytime the Torah says the word Zos, it means, this is a law, but not in another case. Meaning, it's a limited law. Okay. Adkan. That is the punctuation of the Braisa. Now, it's not an easy way to end a discussion. Right, the Braisa just reflected on how what direction we're going to go with Arel. The case of the Braisa is I have a group of Jews who have a Mila. One non-circumcised person joins the Chabura. I shech the Karban Pesach for the entire group. Good or no good? And the Braisa says, well, I'll compare it to Tumah. The conclusion would be it's fine. Because in the world of Tumah, if some are Tumah and some are Tar, it's fine. If I compare it to Pigol, it's not going to be fine. Because pigol, there's no exception, right? There's no distinction between some pigol versus all pigol. So which way am I going to go by Arel? The Gemara says I could hear arguments in either direction, and then the Braisa says Tamud Lomar Zos, and that's what the Torah is telling us when it says Zos. Okay, that's the end of the Braisa. So the Braisa obviously leaves us off with really a hanging conclusion. Meaning, when you read the Braisa and you get to the end of the Braisa, what did the Braisa mean at its very end? Tamud Lomar Zos. Oh. We have a pasuk, and so therefore what? So now here we go. We're going to have now two different ways to understand the conclusion of the Braisa. Rabba versus Rav Chista. So, the Gemara, Maizos, the question of the Gemara is really simple. What does the Braisa mean? Elam edekula arla pasla miksasa lo pasla. Now, is the Braisa trying to teach us that that if everyone's an Arel, that's disqualified. If some of them are Arelim, well, that's okay. Haimi v'chol Arel nafka. I knew that already. We got that. Because the Torah says, kol Arel lo yochabo. And right now this we're not gonna say this later on this morning. But right now, the way we're gonna understand kol Arel means when and only when all the members of the group are Arelim, the carbon's going to be disqualified. But if some are Arel and some are not Arel, some are Gemalt and some are not Gemalt, that's fine. So in other words, I have already established, the Torah already established for us, that it's okay if some are Arelim. So, we knew that already. So now when the Braisa ends with the word Zos, right, Tamud Lomar Zos, so the Braisa must be telling us something new. What's the new thing the Brice is telling us? Elalav hachi ketani tamalam revichol arel kula arla pasla mitzasala pasla. Right? When I shech the carbon Pesach, if all of them are arelim, no good. If some are arelim, that's fine. Vichitim uadin lezrika. Now that's true when I shech the carbon Pesach. How about when I do zrika? I might have thought, same conclusion. Same thing would be true when I do the Zrika, the same distinction. If all of them are Reilim, that's no good. If some of them are Reilim, that's good. Dekula arla mi apasla, tamulam, vechitem uadin lezrika, dekula arla mi apasla, tamulam or zos. That's what the Torah is telling us when it comes to zos. Meaning again, what is zos? Zos is an exclusion, and it means only in a limited scenario. In the Shechita avoda, we're going to make this distinction. In the Zrika Avoda, we're not going to make this distinction. And furthermore, not only are we not going to make this distinction, but Zos b'shchita hu dekula arla mi apasla. Aval Zrika afila kula arla nami lo pasla. But when it comes to Zrika, even if everyone is an Arel, it's not going to disqualify. So,
But the thing is, isn't it already disqualified to begin with?
No, let's go over what happened. The Kohen, when he shechted the Karban, had in mind both people who have a Mila and do not have a Mila. That's fine. And then, what he does is he says, when I do the Zrika, I'm only doing the Zrika for Arelim. And again, I know it's weird. You know, why would he do that? I don't know. But he did that. So what Rabba wants to argue is, the conclusion of the Braisa says Zos. Only on the Shechita are we going to say that when the intent was for everyone who's an Arel, that's disqualified. But when it comes to Zrika, and the Kohen has an intent only for Arelim, it's not going to be disqualified. That's Rabba's understanding of the conclusion of the Braisa. Obviously, conforming to his Shita, which is that for Zrika, Ein Machsheves Arelim LeZrika. It's an insignificant intent to have Arelim in mind when you do the Zrika. And now finally, the Gemara unveils for us what's the thinking behind that. V'chitem amaykula de Zrika. And why are we going to be more makel by Zrika? Why by Zrika do we get to ignore the fact that his intent was only for Arelim? De'ein machsheves ochlin b'Zrika. Here it is. And now we've seen this idea already once before. We get to experience this idea again, and that is the following. Because we know that the purpose of Zrika, I can't eat the carbon until I do the Zrika. That's true. But Zrika is what we call in the world of Kachem a matir. It permits the eating of the animal. But what really facilitates eating of the carbon? Shechita. Right. And remember, carbon Pesach is unique in such that the carbon Pesach's prime mission statement, the goal of the carbon Pesach, is to eat the carbon Pesach. It's linked to the person. The person has to be in a position where he eats it. When the Kohen does the Shechita, he has to have consumers in mind. People who are in a position to eat. And in this case, he did. Now, when it comes to the Zrika, okay, so the Kohen happened to not to have any consumers in mind. Any person who's able to eat the Karm Pesach. What Rabba's argument is, okay, but that's fine. Ein machsheves ochlin bezrika. An intent of consumers is insignificant by Zrika. It's only significant by Shechita. Because of this idea that Karm Pesach is meant for eating. And it's the Shechita that gets us to the point of consumption. And again, I know that Zrika is necessary in order to eat it. But Zrika is a matir. It permits us to eat it. But the real matir, if you will, right? The real allowance of us eating it is obviously the Shechita. Good. That's Rabba's argument. And that's how he understands the conclusion of the Braisa. Rav Chisda, ad Rabba li'idach gisa. Now Rav Chisda says, look, everything you said, Rabba, is correct, except for your conclusion. Meaning, I agree with you. The Braisa does lay down a distinction between Shechita and Zrika. And I agree with you that by Shechita, I need some people with a Mila and some people not with a Mila, and that's fine. And the carbon's fine. And I also agree with you, if by Zrika, some have a Mila and some don't have a Mila, that's fine. But here's where we drastically disagree. If that by Zrika, I have in mind, I'm sorry. By Zrika, even if some of them are an RL, the carbon's going to be disqualified. So the Le'idach Gisa, Tamalamer V'chol RL, Kula Arla Pasla, Miksasa Lo Pasla. When it comes to Shechita, if some have a Mila and some don't have a Mila, that's fine. Aval Zrika, Afilu Miksasa Nami Pasla. But when it comes to the Zrika, they're less tolerant. We are intolerant by Zrika. Meaning if the Kohen's intent is, I have in mind, mostly people with a Mila, but I also have in mind some people without a Mila. By Zrika, the carbon's going to be disqualified. V'chitem u'adin l'Zrika da'ad ika kula arla lo pasla tamulam rzos. And how do I know that? That's the conclusion of the Braisa. When the Braisa says zos, the Braisa is telling us that whatever's true by Shechita is not true by Zrika. This differentiation between mixas versus kulo, that's true when I shech the animal. But when I do the zrika, it's not true. The Tamalamer zo, shechita hu de mixas la pasla. Aval zrika, afilo mixas la pasla. Even if some of them are an RL, it's still going to disqualify. So in other words, Rav Chisda, same braisa, same basic conclusion, but in terms of where the Torah is delineating, the Torah is going l'chumra. The Torah is telling us that by Zrika, the Kohen has to have in mind only people who have a Mila. But if it's a composite of those who do and those who do not have a Mila, it's not, disqualify the carbon. V'chitem o my chumra de Zrika. And now, question. Simple question. Why? Meaning, why for Rav Chisda is it that by Shechita, I can have a composite group of those who do and do not have a Mila. But by Zrika, That's intolerable. Why are we going to be more machmer by zrika? The lo mikva pigol ela bizrika. Because we know zrika is super significant. And the best way to illustrate the significance of zrika is using pigol as a model, as we discussed in the beginning of today's daf. When it comes to pigol, pigol's where the Kohen says, while shechting or doing, truth be told, while doing any one of the avodas, if the Kohen says, I'm going to eat a chutz mano, the karban is now in a state of pigol. Not exactly. The karban is set up for pigol. But you need to go through all four avodas, and it needs to be punctuated with zrika, then and only then is the animal now have the pigol status. Okay? So you see that zrika is super significant. The animal is not subject to pigol until you actually do zrika. It's a reflection of the fact that zrika really becomes the punctuation of the avoda. And so therefore, when it comes to, by shechita, we're tolerant. I don't mean that in a modern sense. I mean that by shechita, it's okay if some have a meal and some do not have a meal. But by zrika, argues Rav Chista, we are totally intolerant. The Torah is totally intolerant. The Torah says that by zrika, I need the Kohen has to have intent that all the consumers have a milah.
Since it's connecting to pigol, right?
Right.
But I think with pigol, every step has to be done,
okay,
right?
It's connecting to pigol, but in this particular scenario, it's not a connection to pigol. Pigol is just a way of showing us that zrika is really important.
But by pigol, every step, halacha, kabbalah, everything has to be done.
Has to be done perfectly.
Correct.
Yeah. But in other words, but zrika is the makeh bepatish. That's the final blow. Okay. So this is now good. So machlokas Rabban Rav Chista. What if the Kohen has in mind while doing the shechting that he's going to do the zrika? He's going to perform zrika only for those people that are in Arel. So Rav Chista says that's no good, and Rabba says no, that's fine. And as we just went through a brisa with a strange conclusion, with a very just terse conclusion, and now Rabban Rav Chista, each one of them respectively understand the conclusion differently. Meaning the word zos in the Torah is telling me that there's a distinction between shechita and zrika. And just quickly to review, Rabba says, what's the distinction? That when it comes to shechita, a composite group is okay. When it comes to zrika, even if all of them are apostle, that's okay. Why? And Rabba's argument, why are we going to be more makel by zrika? Answer is, because zrika is important, don't get me wrong, but we're talking about the Karban Pesach. And the key avoda by the Karban Pesach is the shechita. Because the primary purpose of the Karban Pesach is to eat it. That's Rabba. Rav Chista, on the other hand, argues, no. That Zos tells us that there's a difference between shechita and zrika, but Rav Chista goes the other way. By shechita, if it's a composite group, that's fine. But by zrika, even if it's a composite group, even if some of them have a milah, but that's not fine. And why are we going to be more machmer by zrika? Because you see by pigol how significant zrika is. Okay, ad kan, that takes us through the first step of the daf. Let's go on. So Rav Ashi is going to now throw a monkey wrench right into this entire discussion, and it's going to really upset the entire discussion. Rav Ashi says, look, you know, part of your assumption was that the Torah, by saying v'chol arel, what the Torah means by that is that every member of the group is an arel, then and only then is it going to be disqualified. But if I have a group made up of arelim and mulim, that's okay. That may not be what v'chol arel means. V'chol arel means, if I have anyone who's an arel, who's part of the group, it's not going to be good. Vichol Arel, meaning even as I translate, right, if I translate those words into English, it really could be understood in one of two ways. Vichol Arel can mean, and all of them are an Arel, or Vichol Arel is if any of them are an Arel. So what Rav Ashi argues is, that could simply be the pshat in Vichol Arel. If any of them is an Arel, it's no good. And what is the Torah coming to teach us with the word Zos? Meaning, no. Zos is a limitation. Zos tells us, no. That if some are an Arel, but some are not. Some are gemalt. That's fine. So Rav Ashi says, I don't agree with the premise of your argument. So now, Adika Kularlo Pasaloshna Bishkiloshna Bizrika. Elam Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, what I think now, a totally new way to understand Rabba versus Rav Chista. So Rav Chista Varava Bahai Kra Kamifligi. What they're arguing about is the following. Vinirtsalo Lechaper Alav. Okay, we did this, so we go all the way back to the beginning of Zvachim. What do we know? Shinui Balam. Shinui Balam means that if I have another person in mind, not the owner of the animal, if I have somebody else in mind, so by Karban Chatos, by Karban Pesach, right, puzzle, it's disqualified. Vinirtsalo Lechaper Alav. Alav Alo Achavero. I have to have the owner in mind and not somebody else in mind. So now, the machlokas between Rabban and Rav Chista is the following. Let's say I have somebody else in mind, not the owner. It happens to be that this other person's an Aro. He's not even registered over this Karban Pesach. Okay, now what? Think about this now. I have somebody else in mind. He's not registered, so meaning he's not an owner. But he's an RL.
But if he's not registered, what difference does it make whether he's an RL or not? If he's not registered,
well, if he's not registered, that's Shinui Balam. Meaning the Cohen had intent now for somebody who's not the owner.
So the Korban is void regardless of whether he goes an RL.
Well,
if he's not registered.
Well, I'd say yes and I'd say no. I'd say yes for the simple reason that your argument sounds pretty reasonable. On the other hand, who is the other person he didn't have in mind? Somebody who can't eat the Korban Pesach. So maybe the argument we can make is, because he can't eat the Karban Pesach, so, in other words, I could just dismiss him totally.
He was never eligible.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, v'lo al chaver rabba, savar chaver dom yedidei, mahu debar kapara af chaver debar kapara. So Rabba's argument is, it's got to be somebody who is eligible, at least eligible. That guy, you say the Kohen, yeah, that guy in mind, he's an Ariel. He can't even eat it. Ignore him.
So because of the fact that there's no shino, if there's not the guy's name.
Right. Lafuke ha'aril de la bar kaparuhu. Rav Chista savar ha'aril nami came into bar chiyuvahu bar kaparuhu. And Rav Chista's argument is, well, no. Meaning, what's right now preventing him from eating the Karban Pesach? He doesn't have a milah. He could. Right. It's a simple change of heart and a little bit of bravery, but he could become mol. Hold the ibay mitake nafshei. We look at the potential. Since whole di ibay mitake nafshei, since he could become a
who's saying hoel?
Right. Oh, you're asking the right question. So umi israel rav chista hoel. So now you see what just happened. Machlok is Rabban Rav Chista, and according to Rav Ashi, the entire premise of the argument is based on whether we will or we will not look at the potential. Okay. Now, you need to go back to Daf Mem Vav, where we had another machlokas between Rabban Rav Chista, and now it seems like we just had a role reversal. Umi is Lele Rav Chista Hol Vaha Itmar. Did we not learn earlier in our Masechta, couple weeks ago in Daf Yomi language, Ha'ofim Yomtiv L'chol? Let's say I cook on Yomtiv, but not for Yomtiv. Let's say I cook on Yomtiv for tomorrow, right? Right, I need a day off from Yontif. So you know what? I'll cook today for tomorrow. Now we know that you're not allowed to do that. Meaning, there is a heter to cook on Yontif, but only for Yontif. You're not allowed to cook from Yontif till tomorrow. Now if there are leftovers from Yontif, please help yourself to the leftovers. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the person who's cooking today for the specific purpose of so that I can eat it tomorrow. So Rav Chista Amar Loka, Rav Chista says, you're going to get Malkus. Meaning you cooked without a license to cook on Yontif. You violated Yontif. So therefore, subject to Malkus. Pretty simple. And Rabba Armein Aloka, Rabba says, no, you're not going to get Malkus. Now Rabba Armein Aloka, Armein and Hoel, V'yimeklai Le'orachim, Chazei Le'hashta, because Rabba looks at the potential. Meaning, yes, I cooked for tomorrow, but let's say, right, Sukkahap, I have people coming over my house on Yontif. Now, I really was planning this for tomorrow, but here's the guests. I'll go, I'll take the food out, I'll serve it to them. Since that's possible, so Rabba says, that possibility will save you from Malkus. Even though that wasn't your intent. So, hashtana michazileh, v'lo laki. And Rav Chista amar lo, galo amin and hoel. And Rav Chista says, what are you talking about? That wasn't what your intent was. And yes, it's possible guests are going to come over, but you cook for tomorrow. And I don't care about possibility. That's Rav Chista on on the Gemara back on Daf Mem Vav.
But did he say anything about oil in general, or just in this case?
Okay, good. So, Bishlama deraba deraba lo kasha. Now, the fact that Rabba did a role reversal, the Gemara says that doesn't bother us at all. Because hacha mechutza maisa, hasam lo mechutza maisa. I can easily make a distinction between the two cases. Look, in the case of cooking on Yontif, that hoel, it's not a big deal. Meaning, do I have to do anything now? No, guests will come in. That happens on its own. So looking at that kind of potential, that's not a big deal. Here, however, what are we saying? The Kohen had in mind someone who's uncircumcised. Yeah, but he potentially could be circumcised. Well, that's whoa. In other words, let's ask him right now. Would you want to be circumcised right now? In other words, it's going to require him to think about it, an act of bravery, and most importantly, a maisa. It's going to require him to have an act.
There's a big difference between the likelihood of that versus the guest coming, the potential.
Okay, I hear that, but the Gemara's not looking for that perspective. It's just, what do you need to do now from this point going forward in order for this hoel to transpire? So guests coming over, you don't need to do anything. For you to have a milah, it's obviously a big maisa. So for Rava's standpoint, the Gemara says, it doesn't bother me at all. Ela de Rav Chista, de Rav Chista kasha. But Rav Chista, though, did a role reversal, and it seems to be inexplicable. Because in the case of cooking on Yontav, what did Rav Chista say? I don't care about Hoel. He's going to get Malkus. Guests can come over, so what? But in the case over here, where he could receive a milah, Rav Chista says, yeah, he could.
Question: If at the time of the Shechita and Zerika, the guy was an RL,
mm-hmm.
and he actually has a circumcision afterwards,
right?
Can you go back and eat it then?
I don't know, but we're talking. I understand that, but our discussion is revolving around the intent of the Kohen. Okay, fine. So Amri Kileis LeDerev Chista Hoel LeKula LeChumra Islay. So the Gemara says, and we end with this. So the Gemara says, well, Rav Chista will say Hoel. Sorry. Rav Chista will not say Hoel to save you from Malkus. But he will say Hoel to disqualify the carbon. Or as, to use the Lashon of the Gemara, for a Kula, Rav Chista will not say Hoel. For a Chumra, Rav Chista will say Hoel. I'm going to leave you off on this point. It engenders the following thought and discussion, an interesting one. Meaning essentially what the Gemara made is a distinction between Hoel as a leniency versus Hoel as a stringency. That distinction, right, Kula versus Chumrah, is that a Torah distinction? Meaning, is the Torah recognizing that there's a difference between whether Hoel works as a Kula or Hoel works as a Chumrah? Or is this distinction a product of Chachmei Yisrael? Meaning, does this distinction come to us by the rabbis? Does the Torah ever recognize that, well, it depends whether we're going to be machmer or we're going to be mekel? Generally speaking, we say, once the Torah gives us a law, and then it just simply applies. If it yields a kula, fine. If it yields a chumrah, that's fine. But what the Gemara is arguing over here is, we have this principle of hoel. What Rav Chista says is, if it yields a chumrah, so then we're going to say hoel, like our case. If it yields a kula, then we're not going to say hoel. Is that the Torah talking, or is that the rabbis talking? Okay, you want to see more discussion of that? Take a look at the second Tosfos on our Amud, who grapples with that issue. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow.